Station.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio, this is your Metro Kia of Madison Sports Center.
Good morning, Madison. My name is Riley Yauch, and this is your Sports Center update brought to you by Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison, home of smoke-free slots and the highest payout percentage in the area. Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison, more spins, more wins, more fun. Starting in baseball, the Brewers were defeated last night by the San Francisco Giants 5-4, despite an absolute moonshot that took a piece out of the scoreboard from 20-year-old Jackson Churio and another home run from Willy Adames. The Brewers look to get that win back tonight. First pitch is scheduled for 7:10 p.m. Freddy Peralta on the hill for the Brew Crew. Heading over to football, the Green Bay Packers officially cut their roster down to 53, and some recognizable names are no longer with the G&G, including kickers Anders Carlson and Alex Hale, quarterbacks Sean Clifford and Michael Pratt, wide receivers Samori Toure and Grant Dubose, and many more. That leaves Greg Joseph as the only kicker, Jordan Love and Malik Willis as the only quarterbacks, and it means Malik Heath and Bo Melton are receivers 5 and 6. A.J. Dillon also out for the season.
Metro Kia of Madison, Madison's trusted Kia dealer. Stop into Metro Kia on the east side of Madison or MetroKiaOfMadison.com. Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Is there anything anybody loves more than agreeing with Tauscher?
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
I got a hunch this isn't going to be concise either.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
I would say that you are pretty easygoing. You're actually probably more easygoing than I am.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, there's no, you're not easygoing at all.
Hey!
On 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.
Whistling. It is the Wednesday edition. The Riley's back. Back again. Riley's back with a pen with which he writes his long love letters edition. The down to 53. Did anything surprise old T? Doing a lot of rhyming and I'm not even trying edition. And the It was close. And the first post-cuts practice is today at 3 o'clock. And I'm curious if Tausch remembers those the way I do, which is, it's just eerie. There's half as many guys there. There's no fans.
Smaller
there.
Smaller lines. Warm-ups take a lot less time. Yeah, it's eerie. Good word.
Thank you, edition. I'm Wilde and Tausch. On 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is not in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studio, so another streak ends. We're not exactly the 2002 Oakland Athletics over here.
We're not Cal Ripken, that's for certain.
No, Joe DiMaggio, Pete Rose, Paul Maher, 39 straight games. What was that, 87?
One of my favorites. 39, so, I think, was where he ended, right?
In Jesse's stead, our cousin sub of the day, producing today's program, cousin subs, we believe in better, it is young Riley Yauch. Riley, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well.
Are we going to have access to your call from the DeForest Norskies win over one of the Brookfield schools? Is that going to be available to us later in the program for
yes.
a wider audience?
Yes. I will get that ready to go for later in the program. You may have access to it.
Perhaps maybe Woe Riley. I think people will enjoy
it. That made it. My Maddie Hayes, who is our social media queen, asks everybody, and when I'm in the office, which is Mondays, what your moment, who won the weekend. I wanted to say Riley, but Riley, what was the name of the big fella that scored the two-pointer to win the big game?
That would be Chris Eberharts, offensive lineman.
Eberharts. That was my guy. That was who won the weekend. He got a touch. That wasn't like some little dump pass. They gave him the pill.
To
said,
win
we're
the game.
It in your hands. To win the game.
Run your
Jason's
game.
Favorite high school in all of the greater Wisconsin complex, the DeForest Norskies. That's
love
your favorite
Norskies.
School.
Big fan. Yeah.
Got it done.
Purple and gold. And from his undisclosed location, you hear him chatterboxing away. He is the Packers Hall of Famer. He's Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. When I'm looking at last night, the volleyball team not doing so good. I'm excited about it, but a tough L last night for the girls down in Louisville.
So they won the first game, then they lost the second game and the third game, and then I went to bed. So I appreciate you letting me know that they didn't rally for a five-set victory. Because, you know, I got a lot going on. I had to get some beauty rest. So tough loss for the Badgers on the road at Louisville. The sixth-seeded Cardinals knock off the three-seeded Badgers, who could not get a serve in to save their lives during the second and third games.
Not
positive.
Kind of a sloppy.
But hey, we are super excited, and we had a great time talking with Dana Redke yesterday. And, you know, sometimes you got to take a step back to take steps forward, and I'm sure they'll be fine. But it was not the way they certainly wanted to open the season. They ain't playing Bradley. They weren't playing Bradley, although they probably would say that they beat themselves. All right, Tausch, the Packers getting down to 53. And I got three texts from different people already today. One from our buddy Jared Juhan in our Milwaukee office. Hey, what was the biggest surprise cut? And I had two other people, friends of show, send me the same text. And I kind of want to say there's one that I was disappointed about. But there weren't any. Yes. I we'll address that in a moment because I need you to help me understand exactly what the point of the preseason is now. Although Aaron Mosby, I think, made the team on what he did in the game on Saturday. But the one surprise for me, A.J. Dillon's season is over.
Yeah.
As Rob Domofsky explained to us last week, they have changed the rule, and you don't have to carry the guy for a day on the 53 for him to then be eligible to be designated to return from IR. That was the rule. You were now able to put two guys on IR that you would designate to return. They did that with Jonathan Ford, who's a big defensive tackle. But they didn't do it with Smitty, whose season is also over, which is sad. He's going to miss two straight years now.
So, Jason, you said how many can you designate that can come back?
Dos. During the final cutdown. You can do others later in the season.
During the season, if somebody sprains an ankle and is going to miss 4 weeks, you can designate them.
You still have that. Yeah,
is that unlimited?
No, I think it might be eight. I got to check the rule on that. But on the cutdown, it's two.
You got to think through it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I saw the list, and I think there were numerous surprises. And this is where, I guess, why I have become so much more skeptical of the preseason. Because I had a couple people, you know, when I said, wake me when we go to Brazil. And I didn't really necessarily care a ton about Saturday's game. And, you know, it wasn't that I didn't care. It's just when it comes to the grand scheme of where this roster and how this team is built, the preseason has gotten less and less important. And I don't love that because the preseason helped make my career. And I hope that it still gives. And it's nice that Mosby got an opportunity to do it. But Kalen King, remember? Oh, what a steal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a steal. He's got a chance to, you know, be some, you know, and he still can, just for the record. But that you hear that, and then Anthony Johnson Jr., who everybody was raving about and had a chance to start. Well, we knew Bullard was going to make the team. He's a high pick.
Correct.
You compared Evan Williams to Micah Hyde. I knew he was making the team.
And he did.
So when that happens, you're thinking, okay, I'm surprised because both of those guys got a lot of love. And I thought Kalen King played his tail off in that last preseason game, throwing his body around. And old boy had, what, a fumble recovery and I think a sack. He had a big game. And it just continues to reiterate that the preseason games aren't really moving the needles for these guys that are evaluating because you're not playing against the other team's best, and I don't think they're really putting a ton of that evaluation into their final diagnosis. It's more about what you're doing against guys that are going to be playing during those Sundays. So those two obviously were surprising to me. And then the other one, outside of the A.J. Dillon move, which was the big, I think, showstopper yesterday.
Yeah, no doubt.
Your guy that you've been really advocating for and pushing and saying he's the real deal. And I mispronounce his name on purpose, Dubois, and he gets released.
Mm-hmm.
So those are kind of, if I'm looking at it and saying what really surprised you, A.J. Dillon not being there. And then Marshawn Lloyd not being on IR, who pulls his hammy, and the fact that he is maybe closer than what we think to being available, at least that's what we think, unless they designate him as a return guy down the road.
Right.
A lot of things that I think we always overvalue or just underestimate how few 53 is. Because, well, that guy's going to make the team. Well, that guy's going to make the team. And it comes down to it. There's only 53 spots, and there's a lot of good players that I'm sure Goody would love to keep that he was unable to do until hopefully they make the practice squad later today.
Well, and so that's, to me, the interesting aspect to this is the cuts that they made. And they cut 34 guys. They waived two more guys injured, and then they IR'd three guys. So 39 total moves to go down to 53. And Kalen King, Anthony Johnson, Grant Dubois, all are guys that I would think they are going to want on their practice squad if and when they clear waivers. Now, you have said this to me multiple times. You are right, and I am wrong. I have a tendency to think, well, this guy might get claimed. Well, this guy might get claimed. Oh, this guy's getting claimed. Is Grant, don't call me Dubois, Dubois, going to get claimed based on what he did in the Cleveland game? Maybe, but probably not. If I'm listening to you and making the corrections I need from a guy who's played in the league. So well, you should have them all available to you later today.
You would hope, because I think we always, because you're up there, you're covering it, we're doing the show, you're doing the show from the sidelines. We're evaluating this so closely. We're watching the games. We get over every last detail, and we just start overvaluing. Mm-hmm. And that is not to say that some of these guys aren't going to get picked up, because there's no doubt teams are looking and saying Green Bay's roster's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
There's some guys that they can't keep that maybe we should look into.
Mm-hmm.
Or we should offer them a better practice squad option than the Green Bay Packers are going to. That's all of the jostling that's going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
Grant Dubois had a heck of a camp. And you raved about him. He showed up in the games. He did it with the twos. I was a little surprised, but I didn't think they were going to keep seven.
Yeah.
Bo Melton drops a couple balls, but I'm telling you, I think just like Anders didn't gain the trust of Goody and the team, Bo Melton did.
No doubt.
He didn't do anything to like reemphasize that. I don't think he had probably the dynamic camp, or at least from the game standpoint, that Dubois did.
No doubt.
But he did play big in a playoff game, and he did make some big plays in last season.
Mm-hmm.
And for as much as you evaluate in the preseason, you go through camp, these guys still love, and I mention this all the time, and I know people get sick of it, Tony Mall, Ryan Grant. When you have those moments that show up and stick in coaches and evaluators' minds, it buys you a lot of grace, and it gives you more opportunities. And I think Bo Melton did that, and that's why he, for the first time, and I love that tweet, first time that he's made an active roster from the jump. Mm-hmm. Third year in the league, grinding, competing. Love the fact that he made it. I think he deserves to make it. I think he is what you want. He is a grinder. Dubois is going to be fascinating because every other team feels the same way, at least their fans and media feel the same way. Well, you can't, unless you're Carolina or you just stink. Right. Nobody is thinking, well, that guy's no good. Oh, that's a tough cut for us. So I hope Grant Dubois gets an opportunity somewhere that he's going to be a top four or five guy and he makes a team and he's able to shine.
Right.
Because if he's a practice squad guy, he will probably maybe get elevated and back and forth, but I want these guys to go and get opportunities to play.
Right, no doubt.
That's the only way you gain those moments like Bo Melton got last year, and that's why Bo Melton's on this team and not Grant Dubois.
Right, and Bo Melton technically wasn't on the team when he was the first 100-yard wide receiver. He was still a practice squad elevation.
Elevated practice squatter. So that's the thing these guys have to get through, and I would hope that when Goody and all of the scouts and everybody are talking to these guys, I hope they all tell the Scott Wells story, because I'm certain Kalen King is probably pretty pissed off today.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing he thought he should have made this active 53. I'm guessing Anthony Johnson Jr. is thinking, I did enough, I should be on this team.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that these guys don't let emotions get the better of them when it comes to what decisions they make. And that's why the Scott Wells story is told on this show a lot by me.
And
because
tell it
Scotty
again.
Wells, if I may, I would. Scotty Wells gets cut, I think in his second year, I think it was his second year, and he felt he should have been the starter. They had put another guy in that was going to start, and they decided to release him and had him brought back to the practice squad. And for everybody that knows Scotty, he's very
intense.
Feisty.
Yeah.
Very intense. He was really irritated, and he wanted to tell the Packers to blank off. Like, blank you. You guys made the biggest mistake, and I'm going to shove it down your blanking throat. And after a day, he settled in, and he came back in the locker room. I remember sitting in my locker, and he came back as a practice squad guy. And I could tell that he was like blank everybody. But he said, I talked things through with my family and agents, and this is the opportunity. I know I'm better, and I know I'm going to get this job back, and I know this is where I needed to be. So he took all the emotion out of it, and I don't think it was more than 3 or 4 weeks later. Mm-hmm. Scotty Wells is starting center. He ends up starting in a Super Bowl, ends up having a fantastic career, and it was built on that. And he used that.
Fuel.
Little chip. He was fueled. Now, he was fueled anyway. He's a driven dude.
He is.
Love Scotty Wells. But he utilized that and didn't allow to say, well, blanket, I'm going to go to Tampa, and I'm going to go try to win a job down there. Well, they don't know you as well. They will probably end up bouncing you around too. And when you make those decisions, make sure you're making it for the best for you professionally, not because you're mad that Brian Gutekunst cut you.
All right, I want to get to A.J. Dillon's situation, and I am guilty of rooting for people. I am. I'm not a fan, but I'm a fan of certain human beings. And I need you to help me understand. I mean, I do understand. But I need you to help me further understand how Christian Welch isn't on this football team. You can help me understand that.
Not yet.
You can help me understand that. You can also help me if I want to welcome my guests into my home with a new Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin entry door.
Well, if you're bringing in some new practice squad guys, or if you're bringing in a new player to put on your 53, how do you say welcome to your guests? Well, I don't know. Green Bay will be very accommodating, but I do know how Pella does it. They say it with a new entry door from Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. You say it with color. The possibilities are endless thanks to Pella's custom colors. And you say it with class. Pella's premium doors stand out due to their distinguished craftsmanship. And you say it with a great deal. Get zero interest for up to 5 years with no money and equal payments across the board. And we got a little breaking news yesterday. Gene and the team sent over Jason and I, and we don't know if Jesse or Riley or whoever's going to be working that day, September 4th, we're going to be down in the Brookfield. I found it, a little more info. The Brookfield location where Jason came in sandals with his big old crusty toes. That's what you have to look forward to. We'll be down there all day. KBN's there. We're going to be there. Come on down. Food and gifts and all kinds of fun stuff down there.
Gifts.
But again, that deal. Huh?
Gifts.
Wow.
There's going to be gifts.
Some trinkets. There's some stuff that's getting handed out. I don't know what. But there is stuff that there. I know there are great deals to be had. Hurry up, though. The offer ends 8/31/2024. Certain restrictions do apply. Visit PellaWI.com today to learn more.
We will get to more. I don't know if crusty toes is a selling point for people to come to the Pella Experience Center. That's just me. But I will not. I will be wearing.
I bring like five of those little fish and put them in a nice warm bath that nibble on your feet, would you do that?
I didn't know there were fish that
did that. It's
like
a pedicure. It's a pedicure, but they do it with fish. They fish just nibble and get all your like stuff.
Yeah, they eat the dead skin off your toes.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm going to be a pass on that. If you bring your giant pig-sized catfish, I might be interested, but not.
You don't want that cat. You don't want that catfish nippling at you.
I don't want anybody nibbling at me. Thank you very much. What I do want to do is talk about Christian Welch and AJ Dillon, and we'll do that next. It's Will and Tosh. AJ Dillon's season is over. And I have to admit, Tausch, again, with neck-related injuries, my fear is always, is his career over, right? We saw it with JerMichael Finley. We saw it with Nick Collins. Now, this isn't exactly the same. There wasn't, from what we can gather, a catastrophic event like there were with those guys. But to put him on injured reserve without the designation to return, that'll be one of the questions we ask Goody today, why that wasn't even given a consideration. He's donezo. His season is over. Like the old school way that you once you're on injured reserve, that was it.
Yeah, so, Jason, can they buy him out and then he can go play somewhere else, or how does that work?
I believe my understanding... And again, I checked with someone on this. He could, in theory, get an injury settlement and be released from injured reserve. But they don't really do that as much as they did back in your day. You know, they would waive a guy who was injured, and then he would go through waivers, and he'd revert back to your injured reserve list.
Yeah, so in essence, what would happen in those days is, let's say you sprained an MCL and you're out 6 weeks. The Packers would pay you for 6 weeks and then deuces, you'd leave, and then in 6 weeks you could sign with somebody else. That was the gist. Mm-hmm. They would have to kind of evaluate what your injury is. Obviously, if it's season ending, they pay you out unless you have a split contract, and you go from there. So with A.J. Dillon, obviously I think it came as a surprise to everybody. That makes me think there's a lot of there's more magnitude to this injury.
Correct.
If he's going to be out for that long. And when you start dealing with neck and stuff, you have to be incredibly cautious about how that moves forward because, I've had many stingers. And you just hope that you get your strength back in your arm or whatever it would be because that's a nerve deal. Mm-hmm. That's mainly nerves. There can be vertebrae and other things that are at play, but that typically is what leads the stinger to being stinging and painful, and you can't function. So you just hope that there's not more to that, and that A.J. Dillon, if he wants to, he can go and say, I want to go play somewhere else, but you just get the sense that's not where his head's at. I think he will probably just be someone that's going to try to do whatever he can off the field, help the young guys, help Marshawn Lloyd, and be a good teammate this year. But my guess is his time, and I thought this last year, that is time when Green Bay is probably over. Right. I would think that this will be the final chapter for AJ here.
Look, and he's a smart guy, and he's likable, and he's really good in commercials and stuff like that. Hey, maybe we need him for Green Bay game day. Like, if he's going to be around, and, you know, maybe he's thinking about a second career, he gets to stay in Green Bay. I don't know. All I'm saying is...
Yeah, he's only 5 years in.
Right.
You would hope.
I agree.
And I understand kind of the whole thing, but I do know that I think he probably views his career, and I was on with KBN yesterday, and they asked, what are you going to remember about A.J. Dillon? And I'm going to be honest. I'm going to remember that the dude gets it. He is off the field. His impact is more than it was on the field. Mm-hmm. How often do you ever say that? You want to hear that, hey, guys. And I don't think necessarily, while that's a great thing to have said about you, the competitor in you, I think he still would love to go out and figure out a way to get more opportunities to play if his health allows him to.
Yeah, I don't doubt that. I'm just saying, when you put him on injured reserve for the whole year, when you have the ability to give him the chance to come back this season and you don't, it's hard not to think, all right, there's got to be something more going on here with his injury. It's hard not to think that way. All right, I want to get to.
I'm sure you'll ask Gutenader that today, right?
We will. That'll be among the questions. I'll also ask, like George's dad to Steinbrenner about Jay Buhner. And that is a old school Seinfeld reference, which young people like Riley won't get. What the hell did you cut Christian Welch for? The guy did everything, including play special teams for them quite well. A turnover play in each of the three preseason games. The kind of guy that you want on your roster, but he is a veteran, right? Going into year five or six. And they drafted guys at his position in the second and third round. So I get it. But that was a little bit, for me anyway, not just because he's a Wisconsin guy who went to Iowa, but it was a reminder again that Goody wants, this is a young man's game. And he drafted guys to play that position, so those guys are going to play that position, and they're going to get them to play well on special teams. Otherwise, how do you explain that? How do you explain it?
Well, yeah, it's this is one of those cases where the general manager has to do something that I don't think he loves and doesn't like at all. You want guys like Welch, but when you draft Cooper... You draft, I always keep saying Hooper. Hopper
and Cooper.
It would be easier if it was Hooper and Cooper, but Hopper and Cooper.
Or Copper and Hopper.
They're going to make your team, and you believe that they're going to be really good players. And when they say it's a numbers game, sometimes it's just, you know, get out of here. This is really the case. And I think what I love about what Welch did is he made it, and Goody or Ted or Ron would always get up in front of your room, and they're going to say, make it really hard on us to make these decisions. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what Christian Welch did? Is that a badge of honor? He should take it that way. But there isn't anything else he could have done. And I'm guessing that's the sentiments that Brian Gutekunst will tell you today when you're sniveling and like weeping about why your guy didn't make the roster. Goody is calculated, and sometimes you have to bet on future performance over the steady Eddie player that you have. And this is one of those cases, because what do you think special teams-wise, what do you think Rich Bisaccia would rather have? A guy that's been missing all the camp, but he's got a ton of potential, or a stalwart that could be a stud for his group?
Yeah, that's a rhetorical
question. That's the trade-off that you have to make there. Yep. It isn't fair, and for as much of a meritocracy as the NFL is, there are still cases where it's not. This would be one of those cases.
It would be like Johnson & Sons paving, keeping you, I don't know if it would be based on potential, more on name recognition, over guys that are much more effective in the asphalt and concrete game.
Yeah, it's a fair point. And summer's here, and before you know it, you're going to be prepping for winter. Johnson & Sons Paving wants to make sure you're ready by remembering the 3 hours of parking lot and asphalt maintenance. Reseal. Ah, attaboy, Riley. Every 2 to 3 years. Repair. when you see signs of cracking or potholes, and replace. I like that you put your own twist on it. I'm good with that. If there's constant standing water, warping, buckling, or sinking, don't scare your customers or your tenants with a bad parking lot. Get it fixed up. Connect with Johnson & Sons today to fix those minor repairs before they become huge headaches. Visit JohnsonAndSonsPaving.com right now to schedule an appointment.
It is Bulaga time. He joins us next. It's Wilde and Tausch. Beautiful day when we get to talk to our famous friend.
Is Bulaga not joining us or what?
No, I forgot to put his bump music. It's on me. Oh. Bulaga's here.
Okay. I thought, you know, Bulaga's always on time. That's
yeah, we never are.
Surprised.
Good never. Morning, Brian. Are you a fan of U2? U2?
No, I prefer my normal song.
Sorry, Brian.
To be dead honest with you, it's all right. I mean, I'm just, you know, I have nothing against them, but I just, you know, prefer the normal walk-up music. That's
he likes
all.
What he likes.
We'll get that rectified for your second segment with us. All right, so you saw the cutdown yesterday. You know, you, as a first-round pick, weren't in that position very often during your playing career, but you saw a lot of moves being made. What jumped out at you more than anything else?
I mean, I think the obvious one is the kicker, which way they went in the kicking department. I just think it was too much for Goody to get over at the end of the day. And I don't know if it was something that was building all camp, or if it was the final miss in the preseason game, a kick that meant nothing, had no impact on the game, but that brings back bad memories for the front office. Seeing him miss a kick that from, what was it, Jason, 32 yards?
32 yards. Yep, 30, pushed yeah, it right.
From 32 yards, that's a little PTSD. For front offices, they don't forget that, and it makes them probably think if he switches off in a preseason game where every kick matters for him, he's in a competition. When is he going to switch off in the regular season like he did last year and miss an important kick then? Mm-hmm. I mean, every kick during this competition was important. Every single one was important, and for that to be the final one, well, that. That was the straw that broke the camel's back, as they say. And, you know, I wish him the best. Obviously, you don't know if he's going to turn out like his brother and end up being an all-pro kicker or a Pro Bowl kicker. You have no idea how that's going to pan out. But, you know, the Packers went with who they thought they can rely on right now. And when they roll out their kicker, they want to feel pretty dang good about their guy putting it through the uprights, and that's what they went with. And I think the other thing that took me off guard, which I didn't see coming, maybe you did, I didn't see Dylan potentially being put on IR.
No.
Like, that was something that caught me off guard, that his season is over. Like, it is, right? Like, that's what, is it
Dunzo.
Long-term IR, or are they?
No, yeah, Dunzo. He's, mm-hmm.
So
they, and that, Brian, and I want you to finish your thought there, but again, that's what kind of we were talking about earlier. They had the ability to designate him for return. They make him eligible for that, and they chose not to, and that is what causes you and myself and Tausch to think, what else is going on here? Because they could have still put him on IR and at least left open the possibility of him being back, and that's not happening.
No. There's a couple things then that you think about with a neck injury and no possibility of return, right? Like, obviously my first concern is he okay? Mm-hmm. Right? Like, not like, you know, not like a neck injury where, you know, we've seen guys get hurt in the past and they're on the field and they, you know, not that, but can he even continue his career? Or are these two things in a row, back-to-back seasons, a potential career ender. Like, and, you know, and we have no idea. Because all they reported was stingers, but obviously we know it's not just stingers to knock you out for a full year. So that's my first thought. And the second thought is, did they see or potentially, and listen, the NFL does nobody favors. They don't take care, like if they're done with you, they're done with you and they move on. Mm-hmm. But did Green Bay potentially do him a favor, knowing he wasn't going to win the gig, he knew he was hurt, and they stash him on IR, and that's the way it goes for the year. And they like the guys that are in behind him better. And I mean, and I don't know how, you know, I don't know what, because they can't release him injured, because then they owe him X amount of, like, how all that plays out. But I feel bad for him, but it makes me now a little bit concerned about our depth at running back, because I believe the guy that was in the three-hole, the rookie, right, was
Marshawn Lloyd. And they didn't IR him, but that doesn't mean he's either going to be ready physically or, let's be honest, he is a rookie who missed the first half of camp with a hip injury, then had like a week and a half of practice, played in one preseason game, and then has been on the shelf again. You guys know this better than I do. Tausch, you started as a rookie. Brian, you came in as a starter when old boy got hurt as a rookie. But maybe running back is different, but I wouldn't feel great. I would much rather have Emmanuel Wilson, but I would rather have someone else as a running back who at least has played the position in a regular season game, had all of camp at least compared to Marshawn Lloyd. And, oh, by the way, they still also have concerns about his ball security.
So,
but that's all
here's
I got.
The deal, though. I think when it comes to the running back position, and Blue, you know this, as you know, during that Super Bowl run, James Starks never suited up. He sat out the whole. Remember, we'd always give him grief over on the sideline because he's just jogging and never, and nobody had a clue. And then next thing you know, week 8, 9, hey, give it to old Starksy. And then he goes up to Philly, has a big game, and he's a critical part of what's going on. So I understand your point. And in a perfect world, you want guys getting a ton of reps and you want all this. There might be something to having some fresh legs, because I think they're going to wear Josh Jacobs. They are going to run him, and run him some more. And if you're a fantasy football drafter coming up, grab Josh Jacobs, because if he stays healthy, he's going to have a monster year. But the thing you're concerned about is when you talk about the second running back, because third down, and when you pay a quarterback $220 million, you want him to be great running backs. But you're not putting him out there. If he can't pick up a blitz or if teams can scheme to run over him to drill Jordan Love, he ain't going to go out there. So then what are you going to put Josh Jacobs? You're going to rest Josh Jacobs on first and second down so he's available for third down? That ain't sustainable. So somebody, whether it's they're finding somebody else, if they don't like how Emmanuel Wilson pass protects and old boy ain't ready, they're going to find somebody else because you can't do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like I think – I mean, you made a great point. They're going to ride that until the wheels fall off. And what you don't want to have happen is so early on in the season wear Jacobs down that by when you really want to have that style of back, that punishing style of back in December, where Jacobs, I think, is going to be a monster in December in these cold weather games, like punishing guys. You don't want him worn – like, listen, guys, obviously, as the season goes on, guys wear down. That's obviously – that's football. But you don't want to be wearing him out in the first 8 weeks of the season. You got to have somebody that can take 10 to 11 carries off him a game early on so that as we start to get down into the nitty-gritty of this thing, he can carry that workload. And I don't – I mean, maybe they have that guy, or maybe, like Tausch said, they're trying to find that guy. I'm not totally sure, but I know you can't go into the Philly game with 1.5 running backs. Like, you can't do it. Like, you can't have Jacobs and then a guy that can only play if an emergency situation because he's still nursing something. So that's a little bit, to me, a concern about what direction they're going to go into week one. And obviously, you know, once he gets healthy, it's a different ball game, but got to get healthy first. And that's – It's hard to get healthy in season as a running back. We'll just call it what it is.
Yeah, I'm guessing they'll bring back Ellis Merriweather on the practice squad, and they'll probably elevate him on game day for that game. We'll find out more. They do practice today at 3 o'clock. We go to the in-season schedule, which I'm sure you guys enjoyed back then, seeing us all get booted shortly after your little walkthrough and stretching period. But we'll see if Marshawn Lloyd is out there. All right, I want to get to a bunch of other things with Brian, including, would you be comfortable with Kadeem Telfert as your swing tackle? They kept Andre Dillard. Kadeem Telfert was the one who was playing the most on the stretch of preseason because Dillard was injured. They've moved on from Royce Newman. So what are they going to do at that spot? What's realistic to think for that group? We will get to that coming up. Like Tausch said, though, you could take it to the bank. You need to protect your $220 million quarterback. If you're going to do that, well, you got to make sure you're keeping him safe. And your money is safe at Associated Bank. Plus, you get the best customer service in the industry. You get early pay with your...
Ding!
That's someone at my door. Sorry. Sorry to interrupt the...
Well, go... Take your video camera.
Yeah, let's
take
see who it is.
Let's find out who it is.
I'm kind of curious. Now, let's see who's there.
Abby's got it. It's okay.
Okay. maybe it's Associated Bank with a big check.
My guess is... How many Amazon packages come to your house, Blue, in the course of a week?
Too many. Like, way too many. And, like, I hate to, like, interrupt. I know.
Doorbell interrupted, not you.
You'll get this giant box, and there's, like, you know, Cameron has, like, a headband for, like, her hair. You know, like, it's, like, a giant box with one thing, and you're, like, what is this? And then... 2 hours later, another box shows up, and that's got, like, you know, who knows, a pair of socks in it. It drives me nuts. But, okay.
As long as you're making sure that you're balancing your checkbook at Associated Bank, yes, you've got it covered. So go to associatedbank.com to find out more. More with Brian Bulaga next. It's Wilde and Tausch. I've got some famous friends you probably never heard of, but back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none. You might not know them here in this big city we're in, but when I go... There's the right music. Well done, young Riley. Yeah, I do. Continuing with Brian Bulaga, Iowa. Iowa, much like where Christian Welch is from, or where he played. He's not on the team right now. Still don't get it. Don't get it. Brian, when you look at this offensive line group, they obviously did move on from Royce Newman, but they kept Andre Dillard. They kept Kadeem Telfert on the 53, which is a new thing for him. He was a practice squad guy all of last year. We spent so much time talking about the swing tackle job. And I feel like they still don't know who they would put in if something happened in Brazil. Do you agree with that, or do you think they know?
I think they have an idea, but I don't know if they love it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not sure if they love their option right now. And I think mostly that comes down to because Jordan Morgan hasn't taken any snaps at tackle, or barely any snaps at tackle. And I think... before they thought he could compete for the right guard, that was kind of going to be the play, was he was going to be the swing tackle and compete for that job. And then he ends up, you know, battling for the right guard position, wins it for a few days, then gets injured. And now we're back to, I mean, I don't know how they're going to line up for week one, if it's going to be Sean Ryan or Jordan Morgan, but
I think they're going to rotate.
Seriously?
I do. Yeah, when someone asked LaFleur about that after the game on Saturday, his response was, "I like what you're thinking," which they did it at that position last year. It sounds like you like that idea a lot. You're on board?
No, I just you can't continue to do it. Like, I understood it last year, right? I mean, there was under the performance at that position was underwhelming. So you rotate in to kind of spark a competition and get the best play out of both guys. And it did. It elevated the play. Now, I'm not sure if that's the best idea to be doing this year, because obviously we haven't seen Jordan Morgan take any snaps against any other teams besides the Green Bay Packers, right? Besides
Correct.
The Packers' defensive lines. We haven't seen him in a preseason game, haven't seen him in a joint practice.
Nope.
So, and he hasn't had that experience yet. So to throw him in against Philly in week one in a rotational basis where it is hard to get your footing and like bearing on a game when you're rotating in and out every series, it's hard to get a grasp of the game. And so now we're asking him to do that when he hasn't taken any snaps in a preseason game or in a joint practice against high level of competition. And all right, go do this. It just doesn't, I just don't like it, but
I like, you know, it only because of how much it seems to annoy you. That makes it really, I'm kind of a fan.
I just look at it as like, did somebody win the job? That's my question. If Sean Ryan won the job, let him go out there. And if you don't like the way he performs, then you make a switch.
They don't trust him.
You know, the following
They don't
week.
Trust he can yeah, play I mean, four that, quarters, Blue.
Yeah, I mean, it just kind of, I don't know. But then, hey, if you think Morgan won the job, which they did before he got injured, then you roll him out there. Then you roll them out there week one, and there is no rotating, right? Like, I just like what when you pick one guy to go out there and you don't rotate. A, it gives that guy confidence that they won the gig, they belong there, and it gives them that little bit of confidence from the coaching staff that we trust it. You know, we trust you. We think you won this job, and you may think, oh well, the rotating gives them a little motivation to play better. But I'll tell you what gives more confidence is being told you're the guy. That gives you the confidence. So, to me, it's just I don't know. I mean, we'll see how it goes. Obviously, I hope it works out well. And I don't know exactly how it's going to work out, but I think the swing tackle position, it's going to be Dillard. I think that's who they're going to use. And mm-hmm. I don't know if they love it, but that's the position they're in right now because I don't think Telfort is ready to be the swing guy right off the get. I just don't think he's ready.
So, Blue, I mean, the idea, and I agree that the confidence is a huge part of it, but Jordan Morgan, you have no idea what kind of shape he's in. He has he's practiced minimally, and that's obviously where they want to go, but we've heard them already tell you what they think of Sean Ryan. They've been very clear mm-hmm. about that, and I don't think they view him as somebody they want to roll out there and play 70 snaps. So I'm not as opposed to this as you are because I kind of want to see it. I think you need to start looking like Belichick did this with the Patriots, with their offensive line. They almost used the regular season, the beginning of it, to sort through things that you normally would have done in the preseason, but you're not playing guys. So you have your other spots, and I think ideally, yes, you'd have five guys, and it's boom, boom. But with a young player who has never played guard before, he comes to camp, mm-hmm. I'm okay letting this thing kind of sort itself out, not just say, Jordan, you're the guy. You're taking it. And now Sean Ryan gets a chance to prove that he can do this. So I'm not as opposed to this whole platoon as maybe you are.
Well, I guess I'm just wondering how long are we going to go on with it? Like, that's the thing. Like, once you start it, how long is the platooning going to happen? Because, like, last year, it seemed like it went on forever with the offensive line at left tackle once Dave got hurt, and then at right guard as the season went on. Now we feel really good about four out of the five starters, so we know mm-hmm. it's not going to happen. So, and Tosh, you know, that like, continuity among that group is a big deal. Mm-hmm. It's a big deal. Like, and there's going to be a difference between when Morgan's in there and Sean Ryan, right? You're helping a rookie along a little bit more. I mean, when I was in there, Sitton was helping me a bunch because you're mm-hmm. trying to get everything figured out. And now he's going to be asking Myers for help. He's going to be asking Mort, and Zach Tom for help. And he hasn't practiced. Like, that's the thing. He hasn't been doing much. So I guess my whole thing is, like, how long are you going to do the platooning for? And they may say, as long as we feel we need it, okay, that's fine. But eventually that's gonna catch up to the group. It always does, like, no matter what, because no matter what you say, it takes time to have, you know, five guys gel together. It takes time. And if you're constantly rotating guys in and out, it affects the continuity of that group. Like, that's why, like, I always prefer, like, let's find a starter and let's get this thing done, who you trust in. And then obviously if the performance suffers, then you make a change. But to start off platooning, it just, I don't know. I mean, I understand where you're coming from, Tosh. Like, I get it. I understand it. But I just like going in there with the five guys that you want to go in there with. And if the performance suffers, then you make a change the following week or however you want to do it. But there is that unknown because Morgan didn't do much practicing or competing against another, you know, NFL team throughout training camp. So I understand it from that standpoint.
Is there a chance that Sean Ryan got himself into good enough shape? Like, they played him a ton in Denver. They played him a significant amount in the previous game. They worked him like a dog in the two joint practices. Is it possible that after questioning his conditioning and him, to his credit, admitting they were right and saying, I got to get my blank together. He's one of those big swearers in the locker room, too. So he'd be tough to play the clips on the show. But the bottom line is he said, I got to get my you-know-what together. So is it possible that he did that and now he could go down to Sao Paulo and play 65 snaps without having to worry about it? Or if you're that far behind during training camp, is it still going to take you a little while to get in shape? Not that you guys would have ever not been in shape.
What's the altitude down there?
Slightly lower than Machu Picchu. Yeah, I'm not. I'll have to look.
It might be a struggle. Yeah, I don't know about you, Blue.
It's going to be hot.
Yeah, it'll be hot. I just don't think, if somebody's calling you out in the middle of training camp about being out of shape, which is why it was such a, whoa, I can't believe he did that. I can't believe he said that publicly. I don't think running two gassers after practice is going to all of a sudden say, all right, yeah, this cat's good to go.
I understand.
That's not how that works, Jason.
Right, but they played him as if he wasn't a starter in the two preseason games, right?
Because I mean, they worked him. Start.
Right.
They don't want him to start.
You guys always tell me about football shape. And then here's the other part of it. Then they held him out of the Baltimore game. He didn't play. So they obviously decided that they had seen, and he made the roster, and he's probably going to start. And Matt LaFleur praised him. So maybe he did effectively more than just two gassers, and he got his blank together. Maybe.
Okay.
You know, those guys that wear number 75, they eventually get their blank together.
Yeah, eventually. We figure it out eventually. Listen, I hope he can go 65 plays, right? Like, I feel like that's like a bare minimum as an offensive lineman is you don't get subbed out. I mean, unless they're platooning, of course, which we just had a discussion about. But, like, you're in there the whole time. So, like, I sure hope you can play 65 plus plays a game. Like, that's like the basic requirement. So, I've never, like Tau said, I've never been a part of, besides Mike, what Coach McCarthy said about Eddie, I've never been a part of something where a coach calls a guy out in the middle of camp and says he's not in shape. Mm-hmm. Like, I've never been a part of that. So I don't know the conditioning that he's in, and he came out and said it in the locker room as well. So, like, I don't know where he's at right now. Like, you know what I mean? He did play in the preseason. I saw him. I watched all the games. I thought he looked good in the preseason. Again, I'm not sure what goes on in meetings or what's going on, but it'll be interesting to see how they roll out their week one. I'm guessing they'll start with Sean Ryan, and then if they're going to rotate in, they're going to rotate in.
That'll be interesting. So, Blue, what's your expectation offensively, but really O-line, but just as a whole, with what you've seen, what you've read, is this going to be the start for this offense going to be markedly better than what we saw down in Chicago last year in their opener?
Well, I think...
Confidence-wise, where are you at?
I mean, I'm confident in the team. I think the opponent to open up this season is going to be tougher than, obviously, the Bears last season. I think it's going to be a better better defense that they're seeing. So I think things will be tough to come by. I mean, I still have high expectations and expect a lot from the offense. I think there's too many weapons and too many good players on the field to not expect a good performance. And it may be a little bit of a struggle early on, but I think as the game goes on, they're going to be fine and they're going to figure it out. I have the confidence in this group. I feel like there's guys that can pick up the slack if someone is, you know, not performing, especially at the wide receiver group, at the running back group. I'm not totally sure. I feel great about the tight end group. I feel good about the starting five anyway, you know, offensive line-wise, anyway it shakes out. And obviously I feel good about the quarterback position. So, like, the offense, to me, is in really good shape, and I expect them to play well. And I don't have any excuses for them, right? Like, I don't like the, it was a slow start. Like, no. Like, this is go time now. Like, the excuses are done, and we got to build into the season is done. Like, you got to be ready to go. You're a primetime team playing in primetime week one. Like, time to go out and do it. And I think they got the guys to do it. So I feel good about it. And that's what makes, you know, waiting all this time, like, worth it, is to see what the product is on, you know, what, next Friday. I'm excited about it.
All right, Brian, last thing for you so we can let you get your Amazon boxes off the front step. I'm curious what you think now that we have seen them release both of the backup quarterbacks who went through camp with them. Reportedly, they want to bring back Sean Clifford on the practice squad, which would make sense, and have him maybe be the backup in the opener, elevated from the practice squad while Willis gets caught up on this offensive system. Doesn't sound like they plan on bringing Michael Pratt back unless something has changed. But how do you feel about where this team is at in terms of the backup quarterback position? Because even though I think it lined up with your knee injuries, you were on this team for both times Aaron Rodgers broke his collarbone. So you know what can happen when your star-spangled awesome quarterback goes down for an extended period of time. So the acquisition of Malik Willis, the release of both guys who went all through the offseason and all through camp with you, what do you think of where this team stands behind Jordan Love?
I mean, I think kind of like any team that has a very high-paid quarterback, I mean, there's obviously always a couple exceptions to the rule. I don't feel great about it. They're a backup quarterback is a backup quarterback, and they're a backup quarterback for a reason. Mm-hmm. I know that sounds very harsh and mean, but it's just the way it is. I think Willis could be a solid backup. Obviously, so early coming into Green Bay and not knowing the scheme and having to learn it, I wouldn't feel great about him having to go in the game against Philly if Jordan, like I've said, Jordan Love's shoelace comes untied and they have a hard time finding the exact same one. And, he's out for a series. I wouldn't feel great about it just because he doesn't know the offense. And there's not a lot of time to catch up and learn this offense without hampering the rest of the group because you're just doing really plain Jane things. So I would expect them to probably bring back Clifford in a practice squad role or try to elevate him, like you said the other night, Jason, mm-hmm. on game day to be the backup just so they have a guy that's familiar with the system, he's familiar with the players, and then kind of see how Willis develops, you know, as the season goes on. That would be my guess, but I don't know exactly how it's going to go. But I don't think any team in the NFL feels great about their backup position, right? Like, maybe the Falcons do because they got Kirk Cousins and Penix. Like, maybe they feel good about it. But I think besides that, I don't think anybody does.
All right, Brian, go play your U2 songs. We appreciate you, buddy. We'll talk to you later.
All right, guys. Take care.
That is Brian Bulaga, Iowa, with his insights. He joins us every week. Tausch, are you with Brian on the backup thing? You see it the same way?
Yeah, I mean, we had a discussion yesterday, and I told you I was less than, I guess, in awe of what was going on. When you have a quarterback that you're paying top dollar to, you expect them to perform at a high level. And if you think that you're going to bring in a quarterback that has failed in his other stop when he's had opportunities, and all of a sudden it's just going to be like that, he's going to come in and be, you know, stable and can do it, hey, great, I hope you're right.
Yeah.
I wouldn't bet on it. I wouldn't bank that that's going to be the case. And this is more of a developmental play to me than a stability play. That's where the Green Bay Packers, they had hoped that Sean Clifford had would have developed more, that they could do both. This is a Marion Antoinette type of deal. You're not going to have your cake and eat it too. You're going to either have your cake, but you can't eat it, or I don't know what the other option on that is. You don't have the stability and the developmental, which is what you're hoping for when you have a stud quarterback, that grows into. Right now you just have somebody that you hope maybe can develop without any stability.
All right. I know you felt like you'd answered that question before, but dropping the Marie Antoinette and her phrase, let them eat cake, was her line, not let them eat cake and have it too, made it all worthwhile. I didn't see Jameis Winston or Tyler Huntley being traded yesterday, unless I missed that story.
Well, something's happening because they got four QBs. And let me tell you something. Cleveland ain't keeping four QBs.
No, I wouldn't think so.
They got DTR. They got Huntley. I think if Huntley becomes available,
Maybe you trade for Malik aggressive. Willis. Yeah. All right, well, thanks to Brian. We always enjoy our time with him. Want to remind you, the next edition of Behind the Bucks is here on the Bucks Plus Audio Network, presented by Gallagher. Behind the Bucks, Going for Gold, features Bucks stars sharing experiences from competing on the world's biggest stage, the Olympics. From battling against their Bucks teammates to teaming up with fierce rivals, all for the glory of a gold medal, Behind the Bucks offers unique access and deep storytelling for Bucks fans unlike ever before. Behind the Bucks, presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and HR and benefits consultant. You can find it on Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, and wherever you get your podcasts. The 10 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch kicks off in 2 minutes, so stick around.